get up, gotta get out, gotta get home before the morning comes. What if I'm late, got a big day, gotta get home before the sun comes up. Up and away, got a big day, sorry can't stay, I gotta run, run, yeah. Gotta get home, pick up the phone.
What's happening, Las Vegas? It's another Masters edition of Vegas Nonstop. In studio with us, super fan Tom White, South Philly fan Doug Verb, and with me as always, the Master of Mayhem, the Wizard of Whoopi, the Ambassador of Fun, and the Lover of Starburst, Jonathan J. Scott.
Thank you, Jeffrey, with the G-Line 1. Go ahead.
How's your Starburst, buddy?
I love Starburst.
Who doesn't?
Jared, our board operator, was kind enough to share a Starburst with
me. I agree, man.
I love Starburst. Well, how was your week, sir?
My week was good. It was the weather was great up until, I think, yesterday when it got a little windy. But it's been beautiful. A classic spring weather for Vegas.
It's been a busy week. And that's why the name of the show is Vegas Nonstop.
Dude, you are nonstop.
Good morning.
Yeah, I know.
So Monday started with the National Association of Broadcasters here in town.
Not the national championship NCAA basketball game?
Well, that was part of it as well.
Oh, that too.
That was your world.
That was the footnote.
Perfect.
Oh, that too.
Perfect timing for our friend Doug Verb to be joining us.
Mr. Verb is in the house.
Yeah. He's not an adjective. He's a person. He's a poison.
He's a verb.
He's a poison. He's a poison.
Step up.
So National Association of Broadcasters was in town, and I got to see my friend Larry Wirt from Chicago and my friend Steve Berger. And went to a restaurant, the new Green Street restaurant.
Oh, yes, at
the
Palms.
With artwork by Banksy.
Yes.
Graffiti artist. And
did
the
you
food
enjoy?
Was phenomenal. Delicious.
Phenomenal.
Fun-omenal.
They've done a very, very nice job over there. Chef Joe Zanelli has done a great job with that property and that room. And I think they're going to do great things over there at the Palms.
It was super. The service was terrific. The food was just, like I said, we had the duck as an appetizer. Started with the duck. And the hashimi, did I say it right?
Hashimi or sashimi?
Ha.
Hamachi.
Hamachi, thank you. Hey, that's why I let Melissa order.
For those of you who don't know, hamachi is a yellowtail fish, typically served sashimi style, probably with like a ponzu, maybe some jalapeno on top.
That's exactly how they serve
imagine
it.
Imagine that.
Let's imagine that. Jeffrey is our resident fish expert because he has a company called Something's Fishy.
Exactly. And in my world, something's always fishy.
He doesn't. But and then we went to a place for cocktails after called Mr. Coco. That was at the Palms.
Upstairs, private, sort of.
We met Mr. Coco. Mr. Coco is actually the dog.
It's got a little mystery about it.
It's like, in Chicago, we would call it a sneak joint.
A sneak joint, exactly. Where you go to hide from everybody.
Yeah. Cocktails start at $25 a piece.
I'm sure they're worth every bit of it, too.
Every bit of it.
And you get a straw, it anywhere else in time.
You get a straw and a cocktail napkin with it.
Whoa.
No straws. Straws are illegal. You don't get straws are now illegal.
I would certainly hope the cocktail napkin has been redesigned along with the rest of the hotel, too.
It was just pretty
groovy. By the way,
place.
Mr. Coco's a beautiful room.
It is a beautiful room.
It really is.
And we met the owner of Mr. Coco. Mr. Coco's owner. Mr. Coco is the dog.
Monsieur Coco.
Yes, yes. So we met the owner. And then Tuesday, of course, Las Vegas Ballpark opened. And
I would love to hear what you guys thought about that. I haven't been yet, but I'd love to hear what the new ballpark looks like.
Let me start you out by telling you that it's easy peasy to get into. You could come in off the 215. You could come in off of Charleston. You can come in off of Sahara. So you got three ways in, and there is tons of free parking, which, you know, right now parking is everything here in town.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So, I mean, you could park at Red Rock. You can park at downtown Summerlin. You park right in a valet parking right there.
I heard it was a little breezy opening night.
Let me put it this way. There was 11,000 people when it started, and there was 200 people by the ninth inning. So it was a 40-mile-an-hour wind. I felt like I was back in Chicago.
Exactly.
And so me and... best girlfriend ever walked into VIP, and who should get into the elevator with us but O.J. Simpson.
I've heard of that guy.
O.J. gets into the elevator with us, and best girlfriend ever was a little conflicted by it, and I had met O.J. with my friend Al B. Shure, friend of the show before, said hello, and he's gracious and kind and gentleman, and said hello to Melissa, and got off the elevator, and girlfriend was a little conflicted. And later on, we saw our friend Norm Clark, who's my neighbor, former journalist for the Review Journal, a gossip columnist. And Norm took the picture of O.J. and posted it on Facebook, which is what girlfriend was conflicted about doing. Do we take a picture or not? And I'm glad that it was Norm Clark that did it and not Jonathan Scott that did it.
I can only imagine. I can only imagine the response he must have
gotten. Over 100 people were up his you-know-what about posting a picture of OJ. And I always say, hey, I wasn't there. I'm not the judge. I'm not the jury. He was nice to me. And then somebody on our earlier show, Enoch Augustus Scott, said, yeah, well, if you were in 1942, would you say that you didn't know Hitler? that was his analogy with that. And
really?
Of course, I told him my Hitler joke was, you know, they asked Hitler if he liked drinking gin, and he said, no, it made him mean. So Norm put the picture of OJ up there and caught hell from it. And of course, some people had funny things to say. I don't remember who wrote it, but somebody, I can't take credit for it. They said that they had asked OJ to throw out the opening pitch, and he said no because they couldn't find a glove that would fit.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes. So that was Tuesday night, and it was windy as all get out, and it was cold.
Quite a start to the week.
And they had Rocket Man was there flying over.
He flew in on the jetpack. I saw that.
And I'm telling you, they did it right by building this stadium.
And I hear the food is outstanding.
Food was fun.
Phenomenal.
It really was great. I mean, you know, I wrote a little column for this LV Net magazine, and I said, you know, you get hot dogs and Cracker Jacks at a lot of ballparks, but in Las Vegas, you could get meatballs by Giada De Laurentiis, and
Giada.
Yeah, thank you for correcting me
You're
so much.
You're quite welcome.
I didn't get the sushi right. I didn't get Giada.
That's what we're here for, Jonathan. I have a friend named
Giada, but she just says her name is Giada.
Giada.
Jada, 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 da, 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 da. And then Wednesday night, Tom White and I both went to see Chicago the Musical with Christy Brinkley. And
Long pause is me trying to figure out the nicest thing I can say about that.
I don't know who told her she could sing. I don't think it was Billy Joel. I don't think Billy told her that she could sing.
I do remember hearing a story. When a friend of mine was a dancer in the Uptown Girl video way back in the day.
Really?
And I remember her telling me that the biggest problem they had was trying to teach Christy to walk in tempo for that video. And that's the image I had in my head. When I went, I did not know Christy Brinkley was in the show. I thought it was going to be another performer, a gal by the name of Charlotte Dembois, who is a Tony nominee and a tremendous Broadway star and incredibly talented.
She can probably sing.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, she can sing. She would have ruled the stage. And as I walked in and I see Christy Brinkley, what's she doing here? And I thought it was a joke.
and we've said this before also, that Vegas shows should be 90 minutes, not 2.5 hours.
Well, this isn't a Vegas show. This was the national tour of Chicago, and it just played six dates here. I think it closes Saturday night. So it's not a long thing. It just for some reason came in, and instead of going to Smith Center, it came to the Venetian.
Yeah, yeah. And again, Best Girlfriend Ever said that she was hoping that Anne Rankin would be in the show.
Oh, Anne is
she's got to be 90 years old.
I was going to say she's easily in her 60s.
But they actually gave her credit in the for original choreography.
And she probably did choreograph this tour originally, but this tour is 20 years old. Yeah. So I saw it. I was telling you earlier. I saw it 15 years ago with Adrian Zmed as Billy, and my friend Bruce as Amos. So that's how long this tour has been out.
So that was our Wednesday night.
Yes.
And took it easy last night. I stayed home and watched Holmes and Watson with the Will Ferrell movie.
That can't be good. That cannot be good.
Chicago, Holmes and Watson. Okay, so you're on the downslide.
I found it funny, but I find Will Ferrell funny, and not everybody does. But
it depends on the role he's playing. Sometimes he's very funny, other times not so much. Holmes and Watson, I can't see him in that role.
It was stupid. It was brainless.
Which is why you loved it.
Yeah, I wanted a brainless little escape.
Those
and
are great.
I had to give my liver a little bit of a break. But the food at the ballpark was amazing. And then we went to Composer Showcase, actually. We did a doubleheader.
There you go.
After Chicago the Musical, yes. We went to Composer Showcase with, Keith Thompson does an amazing job at the Smith Center for the Performing Arts. So we made curtain. But it was very, very tight. I mean, we made curtain by like 2 minutes. Because Chicago, the musical, started at 8, and we didn't get out of it. Well, it started at 7:30. We didn't get out of there till 10.
Yep.
You left at intermission.
I did, but I didn't have tickets for the showcase, so I was okay.
Oh, yeah.
And then how late did the Composer Showcase go till?
It only went till midnight.
Only.
Yeah, but it starts at 10:30, and it's, if you've never seen Composer Showcase, it's all original music.
So you sat in a theater on a Wednesday night,
yes,
from 7:30 until midnight.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Yes, but I don't have ADD, DDHD like you do.
I just don't know how you could sit there for that long, that many hours.
Well, I slept through part of the first act of Chicago Musical. I took a little nap. Best girlfriend ever didn't wake me too many times during
the first act.
Thank
goodness, with a little nudge.
Yeah, I get to wake up elbow every once in a while. So here's a few things that are going on and around town. Former talk show host, stand-up comedian Craig Ferguson is in town. 3 p.m. Saturday, the Charlie Tuna Band kicks off the Henderson Blues Fest, starring guitarist Kenny Wayne Shepherd at the Henderson Pavilion. Tickets are $30, roughly. For details, visit hendersonpavilion.com. Six-time Grammy winner Dionne Warwick is set to release her 36th studio album. She's appearing at Bally's Thursdays to Saturday in the Jubilee Theater. 7:30 p.m. Saturday, actor and author Rob Lowe is sharing his stories on fame and in Stories Only. I only tell my friends, and that's at Planet Hollywood.
Hold on. I think Doug may have something to say.
I've got a very, very important question for you.
Yes, sir.
Dionne Warwick, we all remember her. In fact, I just saw a great piece about the producers, the two guys who wrote all her music early. But does she now have an E at the end of her name, Warwick, or not?
No, Dionne, you mean.
No, Dionne, the E was always there.
Yeah.
But after she became very popular and famous, she added an E.
Well, I think
to
her
Warwick.
Original name had an E. You might want to GTS.
I don't believe Warwick had an E at the end.
During her alleged career.
Career. Well, we're not sure if it was really a career yet.
She's only done 36 studio albums. We're still on the fence.
Right, but, you know, she's still.
My question is, how many hit songs did she have that were written by Burt Bacharach and Hal David?
All of them.
All of them.
But her career, she did this, seriously, and it started to go downhill. But, you know, I'm not getting to a punchline.
No.
This is the truth.
I'm
Remember, she was a psychic. Remember the psychic hotline?
The psychic channel,
yeah. Oh, yeah. I used to see it in the nighttime with the infomercials.
With the E. You were up for it, right?
Yeah.
With the E, still there. Now she's taking the E away. And her
original name had the E.
Posthumously.
Yeah. Well, she's still alive, so I don't think that's posthumous. Okay, 8 p.m. Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday, Elvis Presley's Heartbreak Hotel in concert opens at the Harrah's Las Vegas showroom with 3 p.m. matinee shows on Sunday. 3 p.m. matinee show on Sunday. A hunk of burning love for the King of Rock and Roll. If you love Million Dollar Quartet, you're going to enjoy Heartbreak Hotel by the same writer and producer. And the MD on that is Mr. Keith Thompson.
Well, there you go. Do you know anything about this show?
I do. I know a little bit about it.
Is it just a series of songs, or is there a storyline to it?
No, there's a storyline to it. It's actually the prequel to Million Dollar Quartet.
Oh, okay.
It leads up to the meeting of Johnny Cash and Elvis Presley.
Well, that's intriguing.
Carl Perkins and all.
I like that. What did I say about I only like shows that have a storyline and content?
You've said that to me
a beginning,
over and over
a middle, and an end.
Yeah, call me crazy.
You're crazy. Call me crazy. You're crazy. So that's Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. Legendary stand-up comic George Wallace appears 8 p.m. at the Westgate all weekend. George is one of the best stand-up comics that you're ever going to see. I'd be thinking. Bronx Wanderers appearing every night at the Matt Franco showroom at the Link Hotel and Casino, singing everything from doo-wop to Bruno Mars with our friend Vin A and his dad Vin E and his brother Nick E.
We got two E's and an A.
And we're all playing in the Italian-American Club golf tournament on the 27th, Saturday, April 27th.
Great. Let me know when to be there if we're all doing it. That's terrific.
Can you play?
Yeah.
I forgot that you said that you can play.
I'll do
Doug,
that.
Doug has given up golf again.
Four times.
He's given up golf.
He's a quitter.
He's a quitter.
The worst game.
Aerosmith has started to resonate.
I don't
You're just
anymore.
Pressure. You were getting good, though, Doug.
Terrible.
Getting good at what?
Terrible.
Bending
out,
looking finding
for the
ball.
Throwing his clubs?
No, I didn't. I did not throw my clubs. I never did that.
I've never done that.
Clubs. No.
3 p.m. Sunday, April 14th, our good friend Frankie Shinta is appearing at the South Point Hotel. UNL Vino Grand Tasting will be at the Mirage Event Center
tomorrow.
Well, one of those days.
The grand tasting's tomorrow.
Well, depending when you're listening to this.
You didn't give me that. You didn't give me the bumper.
I'm going to tell you this. So we pre-taped this show. The secret's out. We pre-taped this show. So we have no idea if the Golden Knights have won or not.
I'm just going to go out on a limb and say, yeah, it's 1-1 now, and congratulations.
Anyway, our friend Donald Ross, vice president of all things convention-related, is getting honored at, he's from Caesars Entertainment, but it's at the Mirage Event Center, Saturday, April 13th, and that's UNLVino Grand Tasting. Also, Saturday, 4 p.m. to 7 p.m., April 13th, the Nevada Diabetes Association presents the Springtime Wine Carnival. Artisan food pairings, live jazz, fabulous. I know everybody finds
nothing
it
like
funny.
A diabetic
I said
wine.
The same thing, but not everybody in the family is diabetic. That's going to be with our friend KJ. I know. The guys
and yet you and I both picked up on the irony of it.
They went nuts earlier, and I said the same thing. They're just going to inject them with sugar. They're just going to have some candy on the way in. Yeah, so anyway, that's going on. April 13th and 14th in Las Vegas, Celtic Society, or Celtic.
Celtic.
I say Celtic. Present the annual Highland Games at Floyd Land Park featuring music by Killian's Angels, who are great if you've never seen Killian's Angels. Bagpipe bands with our friend Dr. Ken Mish. Scottish Athletics, and I don't know what that is. And I asked Jimmy Denning from Tenors of Rock what Scottish Athletics would be.
Ask a sports guy.
That's drinking,
what?
I think.
What's the Scottish Athletics?
Yes, what is it?
The Khyber. They throw the Khyber. You would call it
that would
a
be a sword?
Pole.
Huh?
No. A telephone a pole.
They a Khyber?
It. Right. Right, they. Oh, there it is.
Explain to me, Khyber.
Was is this Khyber? You talk about a Khyber.
First of all, this is Scottish. Is this Scottish. Give me the best Scottish.
Scottish.
Hey, Lenny, what's the Khyber?
Very good. The Khyber looks like a big telephone pole. It's about 15 and a half to 16 feet
tall. That's what Jimmy Denning looks like.
He's pole, and they hold it like this. They flip it up over
it's
something.
Very phallic in nature.
The same thing with a boulder.
A boulder.
Yeah, they have to use
Khybers and boulders.
An over the shoulder
boulder.
Over the shoulder boulder.
A breast thing you could come
be
up
a bride.
With.
Yeah, the same guy that came up with curling came up with this.
I don't know. I thought Scottish Athletics were drinking.
Easy on the curling, man.
Oh, that's a Canuck game. That's right.
Anyway, that's going to be.
It's not the official sport of Canada.
And you know Floyd Lamb Park and
lacrosse. Yes, correct.
Any other Scottish athletics?
No, I'm telling you that is actually
drinking.
I believe
truth.
You. We had no idea. And we had a Scotsman on the podcast, and he said it was drinking. He said the Scottish athletics were drinking.
Well, because you were searching under his kilt for the answer to the question.
For the Khyber.
That we all want to know.
Yeah.
He hides a Khyber
but
under
I have
his
the answer
kilt.
To, Dr. Kenneth Mish told me the answer to that. He'd say, what are you wearing under your kilt? And he'd say, nothing but your wife's lipstick.
Ooh.
Kiss so death. Next time you're tossing your Khyber around, remember right. that. 5 p.m. to 11:30 p.m. Saturday, Reggae at the Park features the music of Band of Brothers. Food and drink specials at the park, and it's F-R-E-E, free admission for you. Reggae lovers, stir it up pretty darling.
Lots of ease in that.
8 p.m., April 19th, jazz vocalist Michelle Johnson presents a tribute to Ella Fitzgerald at the Smith Center for the Performing Arts. Of course, the Masters is underway.
Ooh.
And if you've ever thought of owning your own business and working from home, check out Trading Made Easy at TMEshow.com or give them a call at 800-971-6140. Trading Made Easy for a free 4-day seminar on trading from home at Trading Made Easy. 800-971-6140. We're going to take a quick break and come on back. You're listening to Vegas Nonstop here on 920 The Game. Jonathan Scott here with an exciting business opportunity. Have you ever thought about owning your own business and working from home? With a few simple settings on your home computer, you can run your business from anywhere. No sales are involved, and this is not an MLM multi-level marketing company. The software is easy to set up and no experience is needed. Watch our software live for the first 4 days. A small investment is required. We have some members that have been making $500 to $1,200 per day. Call Trading Made Easy at 1-800-971-4160 and watch Trading Made Easy free for 4 days. That's 800-971-4160.
Well, since my baby left me, well, I found a new place to dwell. Well, it's down at the end of Lonely Street, that heartbreak hotel where I'll be just a lonely baby. Well, I'm so lonely. I'll be just a lonely.
Jonathan Scott back with Vegas Nonstop on 920 The Game. You can also find us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Alexa on Amazon. And, of course, you can visit the website for back shows at VegasNonstop.com. And Heartbreak Hotel is a new show. It's going to be opening on Monday at the Harrah's Theater. And it's got an all-star cast and It's, you know, Elvis belongs here in Las Vegas, I think.
I think so, too.
Yeah, and it's got a storyline, Tom.
I love storylines.
In studio, Tom White, Doug Verbin, of course, my co-host for the last 9 years, Jeffrey with a G. Line one, go ahead. Masters Golf Tournament from Augusta.
Epic golf course, epic tournament taking place, Jonathan. We're finishing up the end of day two. We have five players at the top, minus seven. And, of course, when Tiger Woods is relevant in golf, golf becomes much more relevant. Tiger's one off the lead at six under. He had a great round today, and it's going to be an unbelievable weekend at Augusta. And frankly, for me, and I don't say this often about golf tournaments, but Sunday at Augusta, there's nothing better to watch. You know, sitting at home watching sports, whatever you're watching, we have baseball going on. Obviously, we have NBA and NHL playoffs, but Sunday Augusta is always an amazing day.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, Doug, you've given up golf four times now?
Four times, yeah.
You're going to get back
but
out
But you still
there?
Watch?
I do. It's great on television because it's like this all the time. It is great to watch. I don't know. It depends what will be on Sunday because I don't watch anything live anymore.
Really?
I record everything.
Even your Phillies?
It's a long season.
Good point.
Particularly when you're a Phillies fan. Yeah.
Well, not only that. I got to tell you, man, Philadelphia is probably the hottest sports city in the country right now. Yeah. Along with Milwaukee, but that's another conversation. But Philadelphia is on fire right now.
It is.
Is Euchre still announcing?
Oh, they got an incredible lineup.
Bob Euchre still announcing some of the games in Milwaukee.
He is.
Is he really?
Yeah.
How old is Euchre?
He's
106.
No, he's not that old.
That's my golf score, by the way.
105, maybe. But he's no, he does. He doesn't go on the road anymore.
Right.
They don't tell him that, but
he doesn't know the difference.
Doesn't really matter. Exactly. He's just announcing the game. Fine. He does a lot of them from the back row of seats, right in front of the press box.
How great is that?
Yeah, it's. I wonder if they charge him.
Nah. Yeah, he can't walk into the press box. He can't get up the stairs.
Imagine being a fan. You're sitting next to Euchre, and he's announcing the game next to you.
Oh,
is that a better day at the ballpark?
Harry Carey used to do that. He used to broadcast from the bleachers.
Yeah,
at Wrigley.
He did.
Yeah, but he couldn't find his way back to the booth.
All right, let me hear you now.
Yeah.
Harry would drink a bottle of Crevassier.
That was pretty good.
You like?
Oh, yeah, he does the best.
That was pretty good.
He does seventh
inning.
Raga, 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 raga.
You know, but Harry would drink by the seventh inning, he'd be schnockered. He would be drinking a whole bottle of Crevassier, and he'd go, you know, you'd hear him go, and Andre Galarraga backwards is raga, raga, runre. You know, win or lose, tie or draw, I'm a Bud man and I'm a Cub fan. With Steve Stone, this is Harry Carey saying, so long, everybody.
That's the best.
That was wonderful.
That was
wonderful.
Extra innings on that one.
And my favorite is the Augie Bush story, you know. He was allegedly banging Augie Bush's wife.
I love how you say banging.
In St. Louis. Banging. Well, I can't say the other
having an affair with?
Yeah, I guess that would be
making
nicer.
Making sweet tender love to?
Making sweet love to Harry Carey's wife. How's that?
and Harry to Chicago.
And Augie Bush ran him over with the car.
Huh.
Yeah.
Right? You know the story.
I did.
It's a real story.
Forwards and backwards.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he wanted to make sure
forwards and backwards.
Yeah,
didn't bother him at all.
He literally ran him out of St. Louis, and then they made up when he came to Chicago, and he was announcing the White Sox.
White Sox first, before
he went to.
But he was always a Bud man. Seriously.
No, I know. It's just, what a great story!
Holy cow! Harry was the best.
That's
There was a sports announcer in Chicago named Bob Hillman on WGN.
Uh-huh.
And Bob and I were having lunch at Harry Carey's one time, and we walked in, and Harry recognized Bob Hillman, and he had a mouthful of spaghetti and meatballs, and he had another fork loaded, ready to go. Hiya, fellas! And there's like spaghetti and meatballs just flying out of his mouth. He was the best. He was one of a kind.
They don't make him like that anymore.
No,
but those old sports announcers were just terrific, like Euchre, Harry Carey. I don't know who there is.
Scully just retired.
Scully retired, right?
Yeah,
I met him once. He came into my studio one time to do a little voice thing, and what a nice guy. I mean, absolutely
seems
the nicest.
Like
class.
Chick Hearn, too. Yeah. Chick Hearn as well.
Chick
Hearn came in. He was also just as nice as could be.
Joe Buck's dad, Jack Buck.
I'm not a Joe Buck fan.
I'm not either, but Jack Buck was great.
You know, it was a great moment this past football season where I forget the teams now, but there was a 99-yard run from scrimmage for a touchdown. and Joe Buck is you know announcing it.
The last time, NFL?
NFL. The last time it happened was Tony Dorsett and Jack Buck announced it.
That's pretty special.
Absolutely. So cool.
Yeah.
Now, Jeffrey, with a G, you took part in the fantasy baseball draft last week.
I did. Adrian and I are both in a draft along with our friend Kenny Davidson and a few other.
And his mom.
It's called the Entertainers, Las Vegas Entertainers League.
And his mom.
And I'm happy to say that this far into the season, yours truly is in first place.
Wow.
Are you? Oh, yeah. Good.
Just now. Run out the clock from here, man. Run out the clock.
Do you guys do fantasy?
Take a knee now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys do fantasy?
And it's a weird league because they do weekly leagues. So you have to lock your lineup on a Monday and just hope that everyone stays healthy all week, which is new to me, but I kind of like it. I'm getting used to it. It's a little different. I definitely overspent on my allotable allowance for players in the first couple of weeks. We're given $1,000 for the year.
Yeah.
I thought it was $1,000 a week. I spent $400 on my first two pickups. Jared was laughing at me hysterically last week.
You made out
but
okay.
Since then,
I didn't say AA.
I've only been spending like $11 to $15, and I've been much more manageable on my finances.
Wow.
Tom, you want to talk about baseball a little bit?
You know, I've been watching. Who is your? You were just saying the bottom four. I know the Red Sox are under 500.
I said if we were 15 games into the season prior to the season starting, and I said to you the Red Sox, the Yankees, and the Cubbies would all be under 500, you would have said I was nuts.
Yeah, yeah.
And that Seattle Mariners are the best team in baseball.
I was just going to say
at 13-2.
You know, when the season started, they opened that game, the Mariners, and I think it was the Angels in.
In Japan.
And I was listening on the radio, and it came through, and it talked about Ichiro coming up to bat.
Yeah.
And I did a literal double take because I lived 20 years. I lived in Spokane, Washington. We used to go over and watch the Mariners on occasion. But we saw his first game with the Mariners 23 years ago,
That's something like that. That's right.
And I heard this. I started laughing out loud, and I called my buddy up in Seattle. I said, did I just hear Ichiro is at bat for the Mariners? And he starts laughing. Laughing as well, he goes, "Yep, this is it, foe. His swan song.
That was it.
Yeah,
yeah. First ballot, one of the best players of our generation I've ever seen. Here's what's funny: one of only two players to win Rookie of the Year and MVP. Mm-hmm. Even though when he was a rookie, he had already played 8 years in Japan,
at least,
right?
Yeah.
So
and he was almost 30 when he came into the league.
If you look at his combined hits, I believe he's over 5,000.
Oh, absolutely.
He would have blown away Pete Rose's record, but the guy is just the epitome of a baseball player.
Yeah. He
legged out every single hit, bunt, fly ball, stole bases. His defense and arm were unbelievable.
Gold glove. Batting champ. Right.
Gold glove and batting champ. And he always said, if I wanted to hit home runs, I could. He goes, that's not how I was taught. He wanted to hit 350 every year.
Right.
He came into the league. He was playing with Ken Griffey Jr., Edgar Martinez.
Yeah. Some guy named A-Rod.
Boone was catching. Not Aaron Boone, but his older brother.
Brett.
Daniel?
Brett.
Daniel Boone?
No, not that old. He was a man, though. He was a real man.
In studio.
Brett?
Daniel
Boone. Yeah. Fess Parker, I think.
Yeah, that was actually a really fun Seattle team that I believe they won 114 games.
And they went.
Yankees ended up breaking the record.
And we're going to take a commercial break.
Oh.
He could break the record. We could break for a commercial. In studio, Tom White, Doug Verb, Jeffrey with the G-Line 1. Again, Jonathan Scott. You can find us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Alexa, and also on our website. At Vegas Nonstop. We're going to take a short commercial. We'll be right back. Vegas Nonstop here on 920 The Game. In studio, superfan Tom White and sports marketing aficionado. I'm going to call you an aficionado. Doug Verb and my co-host for the last 9 years, Jeffrey with a G, Line 1. Go ahead. We're talking sports. We're talking baseball, we're talking Masters, yeah. We're talking hockey. Now, this show, we taped the show a little bit early, so we really don't know the outcome of the Golden Knights game, and we're not going to pretend that we do that, but...
Well, I think we should. I think we should pretend that the Knights win 5-2, well, and then we just talk about the game.
Let's talk about the game tonight, because Jared actually said something really interesting to me before we got on the air. He said, I think they should start Subban tonight in net instead of our Hall of Fame goalie, Fleury. Right. What do you guys think about that? Honestly, think about that.
Well, coming down the stretch, of course, Flower didn't play a lot.
Correct, he was injured.
But when he did play and then the last game, put them together, and I think he gave up more than a goal than Subban did during the time.
Correct.
Right. So Subban have any playoff experience?
None.
Okay.
None.
Well, the only way you get experience, of course, is by playing.
Eventually,
so,
right? And, yeah. And you either do that by being the guy that replaces the guy that either left the team,
right,
or replacing the guy that's injured on the team. So the question is Fleury injured and Gallant is not really letting us know what's going on here, given that he had all that rest leading into the postseason, right?
Yeah.
You would think he'd be rested and ready to play. Or is he just rolling the dice with Fleury, given his experience in the postseason, which is tremendous, and saying, listen, I'd rather go with the devil I know rather than the devil I don't,
right,
so to speak.
Well, they're playing the Sharks, not the Devils, but I couldn't resist that.
That was actually very good. Thank you
very much.
They wish they had Marty Brodeur, believe me.
Well, yeah, as old as he is now, but that's,
he'd still do better.
Probably. No, you know, I think he's got to go with Fleury.
You have to go with Fleury here.
You have to do that because he is who he is. They also overused him early,
leading up to him,
of the season.
I agree. Right, and everyone said, oh, this is how you have to play him because he loves it.
Well, that's good.
When he was 25, not when he's 35.
True. So, but this game that we're talking about is probably one of the very, very few pressure-packed must-have games in the history, the long history.
In the short history.
Almost like a tenth of a decade history of the... Game four of the final last year was a must-have.
And we know what happened.
They didn't have.
Correct.
And they lost.
And they lost in five.
This one, although they can lose two,
they
come back home, but they're losing the home ice advantage. But the way they played the other night.
I agree.
They weren't prepared.
So here's what I think about the other night. I watched game one. Yeah, Fleury didn't look as sharp as he could have been. But the team in front of him looked terrible. This is not the same Knights team I watched all year. No energy, no oomph. Listen, I want to see Reeves go out there and punch someone in the face in the first period. Let's get the blood boiling. Let's get the team going. Let's get the second, third, and fourth lines going. Let's fire everyone up and do it in their building. Take the wind out of their sails early. And then I think we start playing Knights hockey.
Go ahead. I thought Tom was a super fan. That's really good. Good excitement and energy there. Now, you do want to go out and take some energy from them. They were out physical. They were out everything.
The whole game.
I'll tell you what.
Outskate.
If we go through hockey and we go through the NBA playoffs, which are just about to start, you're going to find four or five switch it on teams. And everybody says, Golden Knights, they'll be able to switch it on now.
I don't know.
Sixers are the same way. There's a few of them all over the Warriors, the Golden State Warriors.
Well, that's everybody a special says, team because you have a team that's starting five All-Stars.
It's a great
team. So it doesn't rely on one or two players to do it like most teams do.
And that, to me, is one of the scariest statements of all time, is that they'll just switch it on.
I agree.
I've never seen it really, really happy
that.
Well.
I agree.
Yeah.
Right. And what I'd like to see from the Knights more than anything, your Mark Stones and Patchy Arettis are great additions to the team this year or in the second half of this year as it pertains to Stone. Let me see Wild Bill. Let me see Tuck. Let me see Marchessault. Let me see some of the guys that got us there last year step up and make a statement as veterans in the locker room and veterans on the ice. That's what I want to see. Punch someone in the face.
Carlson.
I just said that. Wild Bill. You want to see Wild Bill, but he's not the same player either.
They were on, you know, they were on a different plane last year. Totally.
Yeah, I was just going to say it's really hard to make that comparison. I keep wanting to make it with Fleury, and because
but
I don't think
been
he had
there and he's done that before.
Yeah, but he didn't have near as good a year this year as he did last for certain.
No.
And we were talking about this earlier. To me, goalies are like quarterbacks in the NFL. They're great until suddenly they're not. Like, they can play terrific, and then all of a sudden, they can't play anymore.
But
and
we also know that a hot goalie who gets hot leading he can carry you to the cup.
He's standing on his head.
Standing on his head,
there's no question.
Exactly. I don't know if Fleury is in the physical condition to do that necessarily.
Yeah, and how long do you, you know, wait for him to warm up? So
speaking to Jarrett's point, at what point do you say, you know what, let me go with the young kid who's bigger, more athletic, and maybe not, he doesn't know what he doesn't know is going to help him.
Yeah.
Tough. You go with the guy.
You know, maybe if Fleury gives up a couple quick goals tonight, you know what? You yank him. Ugh. Yank him. Why? What's the downside of that? You're going to mess with his head?
It's just one of those things in sports, an unwritten rule. Baseball has them all over. You don't take out a Hall of Fame guy if he's not hurt. You don't yank him.
Well, you do if he's not playing up to snuff.
If your season's on the line and you're in game two on the road and you're potentially going down 2-0 and your star guy, everyone knows, is not 100%.
Physically?
Physically. In other words, it's not like he's...
Well, who knows that?
The team does.
Okay.
Gallant does.
Okay.
Fleury does. The doctor does.
So then he would be able to stand up there, and you know how the NHL is about injuries. They don't say anything.
Lower body.
Right. Great.
Yeah. As many as I can.
Lower body. Right.
Back to the Kyber. You know, if he stands up and says, look, he's not 100% physically well, we had to make that change.
Correct.
And then Fleury would say the same thing. But if it's not that, if they don't say that, to pull him...
I got
to
be honest.
I think that's really old school thinking, to be honest. I agree with what you're saying.
But there is some truth to that with the old school guys, like
and
a Fleury.
In today's world, I don't think that holds as much water as it would have 10 years ago.
Okay, who's the coach? Is he an old school guy?
Yes, he is.
That's all that you have to know.
So he's less likely to do it. But what's funny about Gallant is when the media asks him about the goalie, you're going to have to ask my goalie coach. Like, he's going to let them do what they do, which I appreciate, right? Just like Foley lets him do what he does as the head coach.
Do they talk to the goalie coach? Have you seen any quotes?
Well, listen, I don't think they do it in the media necessarily.
Well, I thought, that's who you were talking about.
In other words, he'll defer. So oftentimes when Gerard is asked about his goalies, he says, ask my goalie coach. I let them make those decisions.
I like that you're doing a French dialect.
I do. My French Canadian comes out.
That's my favorite part.
You know,
when
I speak like that, I speak like the French guys back at home in Quebec, you know?
Right. And you know who the goalie coach is?
No.
Hans Schmidt.
Yes.
So that's a very good French accent, but he is.
He's German.
He's German.
Gallant is French. Gallant is French. So when he speaks with the French accent, he does the French Canadian like that.
Oh, he does it too.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. But I like that he does it. He defers to his goalie coach. Certainly in private meetings behind closed doors,
they
have those conversations.
Of course.
How does you know Marc-Andre looking today? Is he healthy? Can he do, you know, should we start Subban?
Oh, Marc-Andre.
That's more like a Parisian. Quebecois don't do that. They're like, Monte Carles, don't start that guy.
My brother has a shop. He sells rugs.
Exactly.
Which, by the way, talking about Montreal.
Baseball? Is that what you're saying?
No. Oh. The Expos didn't make the playoffs either.
Well, they did make the playoffs.
What, this year?
Stop it.
Last century.
81. We got crushed by Rick Monday.
Yeah, but wait a second.
Talk
about the Canadians.
Okay.
We're going to have to talk about
the playoffs?
No.
Next segment because we're going to take a little break.
How many years has it been? I cried for that.
Whoa. Since they made the playoffs?
Yeah.
They were in the playoffs 3 years ago.
Oh.
Since they've won a cup?
Oh.
93.
Oof. There you go.
But 96 points this year and they missed the playoffs.
I know.
And there's a young goalie coming up from Northeastern that's going to replace Carey Price. We'll talk about that after the
break. How does he speak? Does he like French fries?
No, he likes frites and poutine.
Right. We've got Tom White in studio, Doug Verb, Jeffrey with a G-Line 1. Just a reminder again, at 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. Saturday, the Nevada Diabetes Association presents the Springtime Wine Carnival, so you can just overdose on sugar. With our friend KJ Howe, Artisan Food Pairings. That's going to be at Grape Expectations, and you could go to diabetesnv.org.
They actually have a device you can fill your insulin pump with
wine.
It works wonderfully.
You're listening to Vegas Nonstop here on 920 The Game. We're going to take a short break. Be right back.
Bright light city, gonna set my soul on fire.
Got a whole lot of money that's ready to burn, so get those stakes up higher. There's a thousand pretty women waiting out there. They're all living the devil may care, and I am just a devil with love to spare. So viva Las Vegas, viva Las Vegas. How I wish that there were more.
Hey, Jonathan Scott back at you here on Vegas Nonstop on 920 The Game. Also on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, and Alexa. And you can always visit our website at VegasNonstop.com for some of the past silliness and past shows that we've done. In studio, superfan Tom White, sports marketing genius Doug Verb.
Genius
from Philadelphia, PA. And Jeffrey with a G line one from Montreal. Or do you say Mount Royal?
Montreal.
Doing the French Montreal accent.
Montreal.
Oui, oui, Montreal, my monsieur. They say monsieur?
No.
Très bien, très bien.
It's way too polite.
All right. So where do you want to pick it up? Both hockey, you want to talk about? You know, I had talked with our friend Carol Hattar the other day about NBA Summer League. Last year they had over 150,000 attendees at NBA Summer League. It's getting bigger and bigger.
And this is the first year where they're going to have all 30 teams here.
All teams, yeah.
They had them last year. All teams.
I thought this is the first year. Last year they saw a few teams in Orlando.
Last year they had all the teams were here.
All the teams.
I'll defer to you.
Mm-hmm. And NBA Junior Summer League is catching on also. So
say Jew? Oh, junior.
Junior.
Sorry.
Yes, the NBA.
NBA yeah. Jew.
Who's the last NBA Jew you could name? Jaime James. He was great.
Dave Cowens.
Who?
Dave Cowens. Cowens.
Moikum Davis.
Menachem.
He averaged 8 points a game.
There's a few Jewish players in the early days because the only game they could play.
Well, in Philly, the
other than
Kofax, the SPAHS, the South Philadelphia Athletic Hebrew Society.
There you go.
They were a pro team. And yeah, they did. Now there are more Jewish owners than players.
Clearly.
Right. I read the book last night, Famous Jewish Athletes.
Really?
Yeah.
10 minutes. Quick read.
No, there's more.
Sandy Koufax.
No, there's a lot.
Now there are, there's a few more.
Oh my God. Ryan Braun.
Particularly early Olympians. A lot of them were Jewish.
I think Matthew Schneider.
Could be a Colorado.
Defenseman for the Canadians who came out of UConn out of Connecticut.
That's right. Wow. In Canada, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jewish athletes for 600,
Alex. How about
Julian
Edelman? Hello.
Julian
Pro
Edelman.
Pro Bowl wide receiver.
That's fair.
Super Bowl winner.
Who does he
Julian
play for?
Edelman. Some team out of New England.
Which reminds me.
Whatever.
You were going to talk about a new quarterback that the Patriots got?
No, I said who are... Oh, Euculus is also Jewish, by the way.
How do you spell that?
Euke!
Oh,
really?
Euculus.
Yeah. But
no, you're right.
Tom brought up the NFL draft, and I said... It's about time. I mean, listen, the Patriots have to start thinking about the next line of players coming up for them, right? Gronk is gone.
Right.
We've lost several receivers. We all know that Brady, like it or not, is within a year or two of being gone. Right. He has to be.
Until 50.
Yeah, he'll be
here. Okay. In a wheelchair with an oxygen tank.
Yeah, and he'll make it to the playoffs.
My point is we have no one... In the background now, who to watch and learn the system, the Belichick system, they need to start thinking about drafting a quarterback.
Well, there are
this
a couple
year.
Of guys that, I mean, as they sit there at 32, they certainly could pick a guy at that point. There's a quarterback out of West Virginia, Will Greer, will probably be available. The top four guys are Kyler Murray,
who
Oklahoma.
We both said.
Yeah.
Everyone says he's a guaranteed number one. I think he's a bust.
Dwayne Haskins out of Ohio State, Daniel Jones, Drew Locke out of Missouri. Those are the four guys that everyone expects to go in the first round. The next group is Ryan Lindley and Will Greer. There's a third one, too, who I'm missing.
Let me defer to you because you know better than I do. Out of the top four that we just mentioned, and we both agreed that Kyler isn't at the top of our list, the second, third, and fourth guy, who's your favorite?
I think Haskins is.
Out of Ohio State.
By far and away the best quarterback in this draft.
Because of physicality or football knowledge
both.
Or both?
Both. He's big. He's got a great arm, really accurate. He's only started 1 year at Ohio State, but he's got a lot of football acumen. He's the only guy that I watched play last year at quarterback. I went, this guy can play.
Right.
Okay, great.
Can he fit into a Bill Belichick system?
He won't be there for Bill Belichick.
Okay.
Not a chance. Okay. Unless Belichick pulls something out.
And moves up in the draft.
And who else can do it better than Bill Belichick?
With a couple of other picks.
Yes. Moves up into the top 10. He's not a chance. He's going to
get it. Haskins is definitely a top 10 guy.
Yeah. I think so. Absolutely.
So yes. Only Kyler Murray and Haskins would be top 10?
And now this is the deal with Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray is only the number one overall fit because the Arizona Cardinals hold that spot.
But they just took Rosen from UCLA.
That's great. Then they'll have both of them on. They can fight it out, okay?
You don't want to pay that kind of money for first-round
No,
picks.
That's the deal, though. Because of the rookie wage cap, it's not that big a hit for them. For they could years. Absolutely afford to pay both of them.
And this would be year three for Rosen, correct?
No, two.
He was a rookie last year?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, which is, you know, that's another discussion. We'll get
to
that in a
second. By the way, another Jew, Josh Rosen, just for the record.
Okay, good to know. Let me make a note.
Sid Luckman.
Very good, John.
The thing about Arizona is that Kyler Murray fits that Cliff Kingsbury offense, okay?
Okay.
And if he's really in love with them, and he's the guy they really want, the Cardinals could easily trade down and trade out of that number one spot, drop down 8, 9, 10 picks.
I think that's their best move.
And still pick Kyler Murray because no one else is going to pick him.
No one in the top 10 is going to take him.
If the Giants go at 6 with a quarterback, it's going to be Haskins. And I'm not even sure they'll do that because now they have the 17th pick and they can pick up Daniel Jones or Drew Locke someplace down there.
Well, like the Patriots, they need someone behind Manning because
it's Chargers
getting...
Chargers are in the same boat.
Yeah, I'd say probably more so than New England and the Giants, even though Eli and Philip both came out of the same draft. I think Rivers has a couple more years than those two guys. He just seems healthier and more.
He does. He has 1 year left in his contract, and rumor has it he wants to open the new stadium, which he'd would require another 1 or 2 year deal and for, you know, to keep him around. But I think that if Murray goes number one, if Arizona stays there and takes Murray number one, that sets the rest of the
draft.
They're
going to be a laughingstock of the NFL.
I don't know. First of all,
he's also going to be losing Fitzgerald in the next year or two.
I also don't know that there's viability to that. I mean, nobody else is interested in this kid. And when he was coming out of high school, Kingsbury tried to recruit him twice, couldn't get him, all right? And he went off and played against him at Oklahoma and made that famous quote now that everyone's hanging on to, that I'd draft this guy number one overall, which was a year ago before he was a head coach in the NFL. And now they're sitting there and they're looking at guys like Nick Bosa and Quinnen Williams out of Alabama and Josh Allen out of Kentucky. And these are some pretty dynamic football
players. Josh Allen's a great player.
They're going to come out and make an impact, all right? So are you going to roll the dice on a undersized quarterback, number one overall, or are you going to do what's best for your team? And then at 17, that's the Giants at 17. And then wait to see what happens later on in the draft. Or, like I said, trade down. Pick up more picks, trade down, drop down to 8, 9, or 10.
Arizona would do well trading down, grab some
absolutely
picks, hold on to Rosen, and have another good guy, another quarterback there. While the Patriots and Belichick would be smart to possibly move up in the draft because you know they're holding a ton of picks.
And you know, the rumor is that there were three teams trying to trade for Josh Rosen, which were the Patriots, the Giants, and the Chargers. Okay,
oh,
and then the Redskins got in on it a little bit. But the Arizona can't do anything with Rosen until they secure Kyler Murray, if that's in fact what they want to do. If they don't
want to,
the only
way they can guarantee themselves of that is by taking him first.
No, they could still drop down.
But then you have to hope that no one else is going to take him between 2 and 9.
And that's probably the case of what's going to happen.
Probably.
All right, you are taking a chance at that point. But then if you don't, then you've still got Rosen on your roster. And granted, he did not have a good rookie year, but
I don't
no
think
offensive
he had a great
line.
System or a line
no.
there. And they didn't put any faith in him.
And they fired the coach and the offensive coordinator after 1 year.
I didn't think he was great coming out of UCLA myself. I didn't love the guy.
He was definitely the fifth out of the five that were drafted last year. He was number five, but he's got a great arm. And if he could get him in assist, I would love to have him come to the Chargers.
He seems to be like you would?
As a backup right now
and let
him sit behind Philip Rivers for 2 years and then learn how to become the quarterback that he thinks he is.
Mitch Trubisky.
Another one.
Yeah. I don't know. We've debated that. Jeffrey says no.
No.
I don't know. I think
he is because I think he's the deal.
It ends in a Y,
and that's with an E at the end.
I think Trubisky's the real deal.
Who's the real big can't miss tight end?
Mike Ditka.
Hawkinson out of there's two out of Iowa. Hawkinson and Fant.
And that's who most people think the Patriots are going to take,
yes,
even though they just signed Seraphim Jenkins.
The other option is Irv Smith out of Alabama.
Irving.
Who's a monster.
Irving. Yes. Another one,
and
Irving.
I played in the closest thing to appropriate.
Right. And he will be there.
We got to wrap this up. Thank you, Tom White. Thank you,
NFL
Doug
football.
Firm. And I was worried about filling this time up, these guys.
I could talk sports
Jeffrey
with guys
a G,
all week.
Line one, go ahead. If you see us out, please say hello. Buy us a drink and like us and share us on social media. And tune in again. Find us on VegasNonstop.com. Eat well and party hard, my friends. Jonathan Scott saying, be nice to each other.
That was awesome.